And turn, if you would, please, to the book of Psalm. And I want you to turn to Psalm 105, if you would. Psalm 105. We're glad that you're here. And I do pray that you really do love Jesus Christ. And if not, perhaps today would be the day that you'd be convicted of your sin and you'd repent and believe on the Lord and be saved. Psalm 105. Verse 1 through verse 3, we will read. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. When we think about it, you know, we really live in a very selfish, self-centered, and self-absorbed society. As my brother used to say when we were children, he'd say, well, it's about three people, me, myself, and I. And, you know, as a result of this kind of attitude, we encounter many people who are ungracious. You know, they never say thanks. They never show any appreciation for the kindness shown unto them. And sadly, too many Christians have fallen into the spirit of ingratitude as well. Well, with this holiday season comes a reminder that we should be a thankful people. Therefore, it is my desire to speak upon this subject. It is my objective to remind you that you should be gracious. In doing so, I wish to focus on the fact that primarily you should return thanks unto God. When's the last time you've done that? When have you told the Lord thank you for all the things He has done for you? You really do have a reason to manifest an attitude of gratitude. And those three words of that last sentence is the title of my message, Attitude of Gratitude. And may you have one today, and if not, develop that. And may we have that kind of perspective. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for the privilege of being in Your house and those who are here. And Lord, we know that some would love to be here and could not because of sickness. And Lord, we ask You to watch over them and heal them. And Lord, we ask that You would just speak to our hearts as we've come to worship You in spirit and in truth. And Lord, You hear our prayers, and that the songs have been received for Your glory and praise. And now as we study Your Word, that this also would be for Your honor. And Lord, just draw us to You by Your Spirit and cause us to be a thankful people and very gracious. And we ask that we might be pleasing in Your sight as we serve You. We do pray if there's any here that's lost, that You would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that they might be saved. Lord, thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for what You're going to do. And we love You today, and we just pray Your will be accomplished. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you this morning a message I've entitled, Attitude of Gratitude. By way of introduction, we want to look and glance into our text here in 105 of the book of Psalm and just give a really brief text overview of what we've read here. You'll find in verse 1, the first part of the verse, that the product of a grateful heart is giving of thanks. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. And so you ought to recognize that God has done so many great things. Last week we spoke about that every good gift and every perfect gift came down from God above. That should cause us to give thanks to the Lord. Now then in verse 1, the last part of the verse, we see that there's a publicizing of God's goodness. He says, make known His deeds among the people. If you're not thankful and you don't express that, nobody will ever know. So publicize God's goodness. And then verse 2, the first part of the verse, praise God for who He is and for His goodness. It says, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. You really do have a reason to praise God. The last part of verse 2, pronounce God's good dealings. He says, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Do the people around you know that God blesses you? Do the people around you, the people you work with, your family, your friends, perhaps your neighbors, do they know that God watches over you and provides for you and that you're a thankful person and you give Him the honor and the glory? Pronounce God's good dealings. Verse 3, the first part of the verse. Purpose to honor and glorify God. He says, glory ye in His holy name. And then the end of verse 3, we find that pleasantness and joy is to them who seek God. He says, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I tell you, we who name the name of Christ, we who are truly born again, should have something that the world does not have, and that is the joy of God. We ought to rejoice. Why? We seek after God, and God has given us eternal life. And so I encourage you today, as we're using Psalm 105 as a springboard, there are many other verses I'm going to make reference toward, and a few of those I'll ask you to look into. But I would encourage you today, if you do not have an attitude of gratitude, that before you leave today, you'll see it in your heart why you should have that perspective, an attitude of gratitude. I'd like to give you a few definitions that Webster gives for us. We think of the word Thanksgiving. The holiday is upon us. But we know what that word Thanksgiving means. And Webster, he defines it as the act of giving thanks. It may be a prayer expressing gratitude, but that's thanksgiving. Do you give thanks? What about gratitude? If it's a prayer of expressing gratitude, Webster defines gratitude as the state of being grateful. And then it says thankfulness in big, bold letters in the dictionary. Are you grateful for the blessings that come your way? And of course, the word grateful means appreciative of benefits received. And so it is an expressing gratitude. Are you grateful? When someone does something for you, are you grateful? Are you thankful? Do you take time to express that unto them? Well, you should, and especially toward God. So with that introduction in mind and thinking about the attitude of gratitude, there are a few things I just want us to ponder before we look into the biblical accounts that we have for you today. And I just submit unto you, just think this through. It makes sense toward God and it makes sense toward our fellow man. But the next point of my message is, when a person has an attitude of gratitude, I think we can learn some things about it. And so when a person has an attitude of gratitude, first of all, there is recognition of the receipt of something good. Now, that only makes sense, doesn't it? If you're going to be receiving something good, and you recognize that, and you are gracious, and you give thanks for that, I believe that if you do not recognize that you're receiving anything good, you will not be thankful. You won't have an attitude of gratitude. And so giving of thanks is a recognition of a receipt of something good. However, I have to clarify something. Because the Christian, and we read this in the Scripture, and we'll see some things a little bit later on, but the Christian is to thank God for bad things. Now, more specifically, let me clarify that clarification. God, we want to give God thanks for His providential dealings or workings through bad things. By that I mean that if I leave today and get in a car wreck and get all banged up and in the hospital and have to have surgery and all those kind of things that can result of that and might even have a hindered life for the rest of my life, that is a bad thing from my book, from my perspective. And you say, well, you're supposed to give thanks for all bad things. Well, I don't have to thank God for the car wreck or the surgeries or things like that, but I do need to thank God for what God will do through the car wreck, through the surgeries, through the effect and the impact of all that He is doing and working in my life. Doesn't Romans 8:28 stand out? Isn't that a great and precious promise? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's a great promise. That means that no matter what comes into my life, they may be good things, they may be bad things from my perspective, but even the bad things from my perspective will work out for the good because God will work it out that way. That doesn't mean that bad thing is a good thing in my eyes, but what God is doing is a good thing. And so we must always trust God. So technically, if God brings good out of bad, then the bad is essentially a good thing. And thus, it is still the recognition of the receipt of good. So when you give thanks to God for the trials, the tribulations, and the heartaches that come upon you, what you're saying is, God, I may not like this, but I thank You for what You're going to do. Thank You for what You've done. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. You remember the Apostle Paul, he had something wrong with him. Many think that it was a problem with his eyes, and he called it a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times that God would take it away. And God chose not to eliminate that from his life, but what did He tell Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. Could Paul say, thank You so much for that thorn? Maybe not so much in that regard, but the fact that God says, my grace is sufficient for you, that I will be strong in your weakness. There Paul could say, thank you for that thorn because of what you're doing in my life. Therefore, we have to keep in mind that maybe not everything is good, but it will work out for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I mean, just think about that. You know, about some of those people, you've heard the stories of that decade ago, just about where on 9/11, somebody would get up and they'd go outside and the car wouldn't start. Others would go up and they had a flat tire, and others would get up and they got stopped in traffic. Others got up and they were sick. They could not go to work, and those kind of people didn't make it to work that day, and they worked in the Twin Towers and probably would have been killed if they had made it to work. Bad things turning out to be good things. So I submit unto you, if a person is going to have an attitude of gratitude, there's going to be a recognition of the receipt of something good. Secondly, there is an understanding the receipt of good is not deserved. And you have to just keep that in mind. Really, truly, in and of ourselves, we don't deserve anything decent. We don't deserve anything right. You know, man has got to the place where they think themselves we're so humanistic and we're so self-centered that it's all about us. And we think that we deserve everything. We don't deserve anything. We're sinners. We're alienated from God. And you know what? As mankind, we don't deserve anything. But aren't you glad God is good to us? Aren't you glad God is good to His creation? Aren't you glad God saved you, dear Christian? And so if we're going to have the attitude of gratitude, we have to say, hey, I see something good that has come my way, and I did not deserve that which is good. You see, if you think you deserve it, you're not going to be thankful because you think, oh, well, I just deserve that. Where's the graciousness in that? And so then thirdly, there is an acknowledgement for the source of the good. If we're going to be a gracious people, something good's going to happen. I don't deserve that good. Where'd that good come from? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God above. And so we want to acknowledge the source for good. And then there is the sense of gratitude. Since we know we didn't deserve it, but yet it was given to us, there's the sense of, I want to be gracious. I want to be thankful for that. And so then we express that thanksgiving. We say, thank you. I told you this before, but many, many years ago when I was in high school, and I was holding the door for a girl. I was taught to be polite and to be considerate. And we were going between the buildings in high school, and I held the door for this girl, and she was carrying her books and all that, and I held the door for her, and she stopped short of the door. Of course, you know, that was back in the late 70s, and that was when, you know, the real women movement was really firing up and all that. She stopped short of the door, and she says, I'll get my own door, thank you. And she did say thank you. But, you know, she would not accept the good I was trying to do for her. She didn't appreciate it one bit, so I said, fine. So I shut the door and walked off, and she had to get the door for herself. You know what? You can do things for people, and they never say thanks. They never recognize it. But, you know, God does things for us. Do you recognize it? Do you give thanks? There ought to be an expression of thanks. And then I submit unto you that true giving of thanks is an act of humility. I think there's some reason why some people never say thanks, because truly giving of thanks is an act of humility. Because you have to recognize that person and that they did something for you and you didn't earn it or deserve it. And that puts them above you. And some people just can't see their way to do that. So they hardly ever say thank you. And so truly giving of thanks is an act of humility. Can you humble yourself before God and say thanks, God? thank you for all that you've done. And then finally, true giving of thanks gives honor to the giver. When you say thank you, what you're doing is you're honoring the giver. When you thank God, you're giving honor to Him. You're giving glory to Him. So these are some things that I believe that are evident from a person when they have an attitude of gratitude. But then very quickly, a person will not have an attitude of gratitude if he sees himself as deserving. I've already mentioned that. If you view yourself as, I deserve this, you're not going to be thankful for it. He also possesses a sense of entitlement. If a person believes that he is owed that, they will not be thankful. We have a whole society like that, you know. We give and give and give and give. We have a lot of benevolent things that's through our government. And a lot of people have gotten to the place now in our society that they believe they deserve it and they believe they are entitled to it. And both of those things develop an ingracious attitude. And so if you don't give it to them, they get upset. and it's your fault, and they get angry because you deserve, they deserve that you give it to them. A person will not have an attitude of gratitude if they see themselves as deserving or sense of entitlement, or if he fails to honor or respect those who give. If you fail to, if you don't honor them, you're not going to say thanks. If you don't respect them, you're not going to be gracious. And I also submit that he is so selfish he cannot see it as a gift. That's some problem that we have. People will not be thankful to others. They will not be thankful to God because they just don't see it as a gift. So there's no reason for them to be gracious. And so people who do not have an attitude of gratitude simply have an unthankful spirit. We call them ingrates. You ever hear that word, an ingrate? Well, Webster defines an ingrate as an ungrateful person. And of course, ungrateful is the showing of no gratitude. It is a making of a poor return. It is somebody who is thankless. What a sad thing. I believe that we ought to be a thankful people. Whether you're a Christian or not, you ought to be a thankful person. You ought to recognize that good has been done toward you and you didn't earn it and you didn't deserve it. But certainly as Christians, above all, we should be a thankful people. We ought to have an attitude of gratitude. So let me get into, turn if you will, you're back in Psalm 105. Go back to the 92nd Psalm. I'm going to give you some biblical reminders to have an attitude of gratitude. Some of these I'll ask you to turn to. Some of them will be somewhat repetitious. Others will appear to be repetitious. Some of them I'll ask you to turn to. Some of them I will not. I've got many of them written out for you. We don't want to burn you by turning to hundreds of places. But biblical reminders to have an attitude of gratitude. And if you can hear these verses today and walk out of here and say, you know what, I can still be an ingrate, then you know you just aren't listening to God's word. Let it speak to your heart. First of all, I submit to you that God is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 92, I've asked you to look there, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. 106, Psalm 106. You want to be quick with this. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. 107, 1. Very similar. Almost identical. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now stay here, but listen. Listen to these verses. And I know that the songs are being sung. The same thought is being conveyed. Stay in 107, Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Verse 28, verse 29 of that same chapter says, Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know what? You read in the 136th Psalm, the first part of that the first verse, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You kind of get the idea that God does good, his mercy is forever, and what should we do? We ought to give thanks. God is worthy of praise. He is worthy of our thanksgiving. And you can read over in the book of Revelation in chapter 7. Don't turn there. But Revelation chapter 7 in verse 12, it talks about the angels singing a song. And they said, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. You know what that says? Thanksgiving is due unto God. Just as much as you ought to praise Him, glorify His name, speak of His wonderful works, giving of thanks. Will you be a thankful people? God is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. And then secondly, giving thanks glorifies God. Listen, if you will, Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Remember, true giving of thanks humbles the giver, the receiver, and exalts the giver. It's an honor, respect to him. You know, we magnify his name. When you say thank you to God, you know, you honor him, you glorify him, you exalt him. Oh, that we would give thanks. That's why we see so many references in Psalm 95, verse 1. It says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." When you come into His house, you see, when you come into His presence, come with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with psalms. You know, singing is an important part of worship, because we're singing praise and honor and glory unto God who is in the heavens. And so, when you come, I encourage you to sing. You say, "Well, I can't sing." Well, it says make a joyful noise, and that's what I do. So you join along with me. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Just, you know what, out of your heart, sing these songs, because that honors Him. Giving thanks glorifies God. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." That's coming into the house of the Lord. "Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Are you still in 107? You should be. Look at verse 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Giving thanks glorifies God. It's spoken of in that text as a sacrifice unto Him. And then Psalm 147 verse 7 says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." You know, David, he's a sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. And many of these psalms are written by David. But listen, and so I just want to make a few references to David and some of the things that he said, and we haven't picked out everything that he has expressed so far. But back in Psalm 18, verse 49, David is delivered by God from all of his troubles, and he gives thanks to God, and this is what he said. "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise to thy name." Give thanks. Well, it gives praise and honor to God. David's declaration in Psalm 32, verse 12, the last part of the verse says, "O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." David was a man after God's own heart. Should not we also have the same attitude? To give thanks unto God forever. In Psalm 35, in verse 18, David spoke of giving thanks publicly, because he says, "I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." Turn, if you would, back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, and what we have in 1 Chronicles 16 is among the history there, is an expression of David's psalm of thanksgiving. And we'll not read all this, but again, just David's expression of thanksgiving. And oh, may we adopt the same. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, look at verse 8. "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servants, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones." And then verse 34, you can skip down there. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." You ought to have an attitude of gratitude. God is worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. And giving gives glory to God. And the truth is, God's people ought to be giving thanks. We ought to be a gracious people. Over in Psalm 79, Asaph declares, and Asaph was really David's song leader, as it were. And in Psalm 79, he says, "So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever, and we will show forth thy praise to all generations." If you're saved today, my friend, you're a sheep of His pasture. You are His people. Won't you show forth His praise? Won't you give Him the honor and the glory that's due unto His name? Would you tell God thanks? Would you publicly express to others, "Hey, look what God has done for me." In Psalm 140, verse 13, it says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." The righteous. Of anyone, the righteous ought to recognize God and His goodness and our lack of we don't deserve any goodness, and that we would give God the honor and the glory for all good that He has done. And you know, over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, as Paul is teaching the Colossian people, and he's talking about how that they ought to be a mature people, and part of that spiritual maturity is that of thanksgiving. Listen to Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know what, as a Christian, you're failing somewhat if you are rooted and built up in Him, if you're growing and maturing in the faith, and you're established in the faith, and you've been doing all that God has instructed you, but if you fail to give thanks, you know what, you're not doing everything God has encouraged you to do. We ought to be a thankful people. A reference verse to this is 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 11, where it talks about the blessings of God and that come upon His people. And God's blessing really ought to cause us to have a thanksgiving or an attitude of gratitude. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, it says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. When God does something for you, does that provoke a sense of gratitude in your heart? Will you be gracious? Will you say thanks? And I'll tell you, my friend, the Bible just makes it clear that it's God's desire that we do so, that we give thanks to Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Yeah, even those bad things to us, but it's those bad things that God's working in and through that He'll work good, so we can still thank Him. We've already discussed that. In everything, give thanks. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing," or don't be anxious over anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Do you get the idea that we ought to be a thankful people? That we ought to have an attitude of gratitude? Oh, I hope that you see that. I hope that you sense that. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 1. I know we looked at this last week, but we want to make reference here. James chapter 1. You've heard the Psalms. You've heard the references. I've read many of them to you. In conclusion, we should all possess an attitude of gratitude. I believe that. We all should possess an attitude of gratitude, one, because all good things come from God. James chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." My friend, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, I want you to know that anything that's right, anything that's decent, anything that's good in your life, even bad things working out for good, anything that works out for your good is a gift from God. And it's a gift that isn't earned. It is a gift that is not deserved. It is a gift from God's graciousness unto you. You're not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it. But God sees fit to bestow it upon us. And so therefore, I need to recognize that every good thing comes from God. That should provoke in me an attitude of gratitude. You need to recognize every good thing comes from God. And that should provoke an attitude of gratitude. So we should possess an attitude of gratitude because all good things come from God. And then number two, because salvation, which is available through the provision of Jesus Christ, that ought to cause you to be gracious. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." I mean, really, truly, did we deserve that Jesus would come and die? Did we deserve that we would have a Lamb that would take away the sin of the world? No, my friend, we were sinners. And we deserve judgment and wrath and condemnation. That's all we deserve. But aren't you glad that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? The gift of Jesus Christ coming and dying and giving up His life so that we might have eternal life. And those of you who are saved, you know that's a very tremendous thing, and that's a gift of God, the gift of eternal life. And Christ gave up His life so that we might be saved. So thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I tell you, you ought to have an attitude of gratitude. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for saving you? For giving you a new heart and a new life? When's the last time you gave Him the honor and the praise for Him making you His child? We ought to have an attitude of gratitude, not simply because of all the good things come from Him, or that we've been saved. And by the way, dear lost person, it's a gift that's still available. Would you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you be saved today? And then you'll know what it is, why you should really be thankful to God. Well, number three, we should possess an attitude of gratitude because God has given us everything that we need. You know, as Christians, we need grace to live for Him. Turn, if you will, this is the last place, 2 Peter chapter 1. Just a few pages over, 2 Peter chapter 1. God has given us everything that we need as Christians to live for Him. And you ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be a gracious people. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us," notice, "all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." It's just not that, well, God saved you by His love, His grace, and His mercy, and we ought to give Him thanks for the salvation we have, and then, you know, it's kind of up to you, and we're going to hang on and cling on and work hard and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and we'll make it through. It's not that at all, is it? God, who's given us grace and faith to believe, He has given us everything that we need that pertains unto life and godliness. And so He has not forsaken me and He has not forsaken you, but He saved us and He's given us everything that we need. Of course, everything that we need is found in Him. Shouldn't that provoke in you an attitude of gratitude? Oh, I pray that it does. Our text that we began with, Psalm 105, says in verse 1, "O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." May you have an attitude of gratitude. Christian, you certainly should have that. And if you're here and you're lost, oh, that God would reveal His great love toward you and His mercy that's available, and the fact that Christ died for sinners, was buried and risen again, that you might have eternal life. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You deserve nothing but wrath and judgment and the fires of hell. But God has been gracious. Would you repent? Would you believe? Would you be saved today? And then turn that heart into a heart of thanksgiving. Let's have an attitude of gratitude. Brother Paul, would you please come? Let's stand. We'll sing. The invitation simply is this, right where you are. If God's spoken to your need, that you're lost, you're undone, and you need the Savior, that you'd be convicted of your sin, or that you'd repent and believe on the Lord. Right where you are, you can do that. But if you need help, you can come. We'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to show you Scripture about the Lord, talk to you about it. But we want you who are lost to be saved. And may every one of us who are saved recognize God's great goodness toward us in saving us and giving us everything that we need for this life, so that He will receive the honor and the glory, and we would be a thankful people, gracious people. Father, bless Your word as only You can. Lord, we love You today. We honor You. We praise You. And we know that every good thing comes from You, and we thank You for it. Thank You for saving us. And Lord, thank You for everything that You provide for us as Your people. And Lord, thank You for working in the hearts of those in our midst that are not saved, that Lord, You continue to work and move and draw and woo by Your Spirit. Bring them to Yourself. We'll give You the honor and the glory. God, cause in every one of us an attitude of gratitude. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?